Did you really mean that? Thanks be to God for that passage. Yeah, I thought about starting this passage, this sermon, in a different way. You know, a lot of us have problems with this story. I wondered, I was going to ask for a show of hands of how many people think that Martha has a serious point here. I knew I'd get some hands in spite of, you know, because we are ready to stand up for Martha. We have probably been in that situation, all of us in our lives, where we were doing some work, something that had to be done, and we realized that it had to be done, and we looked and we saw someone else who could be of help, but was not helping. They were simply relaxing, doing what they chose to do, seemed to be oblivious to the need that had to be addressed and taken care of at that time. And so we identify many times with Martha and her situation. Now, one of the things that we do with this passage, I think, is that we approach it from a modern contemporary perspective. And we tend to see these two women as being two women of different personality types. There are in the world certain people who have a knack for seeing things that need to be done and going ahead and doing those things. And there are other people who are more laid back, who are more reflective. And so we tend to see this, there's Mary and there's Martha in those situations. I can remember a woman in a church that I served one time. This has been 30, 40 years ago. And her family, she and her husband were snowbirds. And they were from Michigan. So I did not know any of her adult children. But she said to me, you know, we have two children, two daughters. One of them is named Martha, and the other is named Mary. And Martha is Martha, and Mary is Mary. Now, I knew what she was trying to say. But actually, let me share with you, this passage is not about personality types, about the strengths and weaknesses of certain ways of going at life, which everybody has strengths and weaknesses, no matter who we are. This is not about our personalities. This runs deeper than that. Fundamentally, what we have here is a cultural situation about hospitality. Now, we in our day and in this country have certain ways that are traditional for expressing hospitality to people who may come to our homes or friends that we invite. Usually, you know, we like to eat. It has to do with food that is offered or drink or something like that. I had a man come from Spectrum cable company yesterday because they had detected a signal leak, whatever that is, in our lines. And so we had to come and check that stuff. Well, it was a hot day, and so the natural thing, the hospitable thing with me was to offer him a glass of water. That's what anyone would do. That's what you do with people in that situation. We have these certain standards for hospitality. as I was working on this passage, you know, last week was also in my mind when I talked about the Good Samaritan right before this. And I used an example of my visit from Haiti a few years ago. And what occurred to me was another experience of hospitality in Haiti that was different from what I had experienced in this culture. As it turned out, someone from our group had a connection with a person who made, or a company that made, solar-powered lights. And it was a very simple kind of a thing. There was a vinyl solar panel that could be unrolled and hung on the roof of a house or on a clothesline or whatever to get this solar energy. And that powered charged a battery that could be used as a light. Now, in this rural area of Haiti, there were no power lines to go to these houses in the mountains. And so the children that were going to the school that we had come to could not study at night, work on their work, except by candles or something like that. So we were distributing about a dozen or so of these solar-powered lights. And just as an aside, that group came back this year and they presented 500 of these lights to all of these the homes of the children that went to the school. But in any event, we were making these presentations. And so we divided our group, and I went with another person along with the children after school. We were giving out three lights. And as we went to their homes, the people would see us coming, and the person that represented the household, in most cases, one of the cases, it was the mother who was there. The fathers were gone and so forth. And in the other two times, it was the oldest girl in the household, the oldest sister, because her parents were gone working. Each time that we came to present this, we had the same experience. The other children would go in, and they brought out some lawn chairs for us to sit on. And then we sat and we waited. And we waited 10, sometimes 15 minutes. And then this representative of the household would come out. The first time, it was the mother. And she was dressed in her Sunday best. Her hair was all combed as if she were going to church. Best dress. Church shoes, all those kinds of things. And it was a humbling experience. Here I am in my shorts and tennis shoes, you know. But this was how hospitality was expressed. The same was true of the young girls, the oldest sisters, 14, 15 years old maybe. They did the same thing. They knew what was expected. This is how you expressed hospitality. A very powerful thing. Now, in the scriptures, this hospitality is also very important to the people of that day. In the Israelites, before they were in captivity in Egypt, were nomads. They traveled around with their flocks. They led those flocks wherever they could find pasture. And they experienced being the foreigners, the strangers in the land. They were the foreigners in Egypt. And that's how they ended up as slaves. And so when they came to have their own country, written into law were these instructions, how you welcomed the stranger and the foreigner. You were under obligation to express hospitality to them. And this is what we find in this passage. Here is a small town, a small village. There are no Holiday Inns there. There's not even the kind of inn that the Good Samaritan of last week's scripture was referring to. Those things happened in larger cities where you could find a place to stay. In these small villages, it was incumbent upon the residents to provide for the needs of travelers who came through. And that's what we have. We have Martha, who opens her home to Jesus and the people that are with him. We don't know whether Martha and Mary had seen Jesus before in their lives, whether they knew him, whether they had heard about him. He could have been anyone who was there in their home. And it was also a village thing. There would be neighbors who would provide a loaf of bread or something to drink, because it was incumbent upon the whole community to provide for these strangers. Now, this is the situation. Everybody is welcoming the stranger, providing for their needs. Everybody is there to do something for them, except Mary. There's Mary sitting there, listening to Jesus, not doing a thing. You see, this isn't just about her wanting to relax and take it easy. This is outrageous in this culture. This is not what you do, what anyone would do. And that's the interesting thing about Jesus. The encounters that Jesus has that are recorded for us in the Bible, or the parables that Jesus tells, it's often the key to understanding what Jesus is about is to look to the thing that would have offended, would have shocked people. It's like Jesus picking the Good Samaritan as the example of who the neighbor is, that other person. And the same thing is happening here. They are shocked by what Mary does. But Jesus says, what she has done, she has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Martha, you are distracted by many things. But the better thing is what Mary has chosen. Now, this is not a strange thing for Jesus to say. This is not out of keeping with what he has said in other situations. He tells the parable about the sower and the seed. Remember that one where the man goes out and he sows the seed and it falls in all different places? And one of the places that it falls is among the thorns. But the thorns grow up and it chokes out these living plants. And then Jesus gives the interpretation of that parable. And he says, the one that falls among the thorns are like those who allow the distractions of life or the love of wealth to choke out the word that is implanted in them, the distractions of life, the things that draw us away from that which is vital. Jesus also says, why do you worry about what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear? Isn't life more than food or the body more than clothing? Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Therefore, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be yours as well. Jesus is not saying, okay, everyone, just go and sit around all day and pray. You know, don't do any work. No, he is lifting up the central part of faith and communion with God and seeking God's will, the central role that that has in the shaping of all of our lives, whatever we're doing, whether we're working or studying or playing or praying. One thing is needed. One thing is needed, he is saying to Martha. And Mary has chosen that special one. Why is this so important? It is because Jesus has come to share us the word of life. the word of life, the thing that transforms our lives and renews our lives. If Martha had known what we know about who Jesus was, that he is the Son of God, he was the one who was raised from the dead, she would have been one of the first ones to listen to Jesus. What does this man have to say? What do I need to know about how I live, about my life? Christ comes to us saying to us, you are a child of God. You are precious in the sight of God. You are to live your life in hope. You are to live your life in the knowledge that God will never leave you or forsake you. No matter what you are experiencing or will experience in the future, God will be with you. God will be working through your life. And this God calls you to live a certain way, a way that is different from the world, a way that reflects God's love for you and what God wants in the world. You cannot be distracted by the voices of the world, by the other things that pull you away from this vital, central part of your life. This is what is critical. This is what is most important. Jesus doesn't care about being served hors d'oeuvres or people being polite to him. What Jesus wants to do is to share the good news with people and see them respond in their hearts, to let the fire of God catch a hold of their hearts. You know, in the end, that's what caused Christianity to spread out throughout the world, because the fire that was ignited in the hearts of people of the love of God spread out. The good news was shared. And when people listened to that, when they got a hold of that, it made all the difference in the world. It transformed people's lives. It changed the world. And it continues. It continues to change the world. We look at history. And what do we see? You know, there was a time when power was what it was all about, when kings would reign by their might and pass this on to their families and so forth. And if in that kind of a world, if you had a good king, then life was pretty good. If you had a bad king, it was a disaster. But then, see, comes this idea, which is deeply rooted in the faith of Christianity. This idea that each person is valued and cherished by God. It's Christianity, see, that wasn't just a religion for the Jews or for people living in a certain place the way other religions would be. It was religion for everybody. Whosoever receives and trusts in Christ receives the gift of life. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You see, that's what finally dawned on the minds of people. That's where democracy comes from, this conviction of the value of every person. And this is the way the world has developed. You know, there was a time when people said, well, there's nothing wrong with owning another person as a slave. It was something that was done in the Bible and all the rest. But eventually, people began to say, there's something wrong with this. Each human being is a child of God. How can someone created in the image of God be a slave of another person? And so that was changed. In the same way, you can look at all kinds of things. Think of the child labor laws. You know, there was a time when children worked in factories, and it was seen as nothing wrong with that. the owners of the factories profited. They didn't have to pay children what they paid an adult. The children were bringing some income into the family. And yet people began to say, there's something wrong with that. These are human lives, lives that are damaged by this. Every human being has a right to be able to live their life and grow and develop and be all that they can be. We have to protect them. This is the way it unfolds. It unfolds out of the strength of the Word of God. Because ultimately there is a God who has created this life. And there is a way to live that we are called to embrace. A way that is liberating for us. A way of promise and of hope. And a way as well that shapes the world. And this is why we cannot be distracted. This is why at the center of each of our lives needs to be this living word. The living word that breathes life into our souls and our spirits. This living word that no matter how old we are, enables us to see the wonder of God in new ways, in new creative ways, that we might continue to grow as human beings. Because after all, that's God's intention forever. Therefore, I think, don't think about this passage as personality things. Don't think that Martha isn't doing a good thing. She is doing a good thing. Jesus recognizes it. It's important what she's doing. It's just that there is one thing that's better, one thing that Mary, by the grace of God, suddenly recognized, that there was something in this Jesus that she just had to hear. It was life to her. It was life. Do not be distracted. Live the words of life. Amen.